So we're really proud to say we have helped over 400,000 patients achieve 10 million pounds of weight loss over this the 20-year history here. And we're just getting started. Honestly, I think we could probably do the next 10 million pounds in the next couple of years based on the growth we have planned for individual units, as well as the unit growth that we anticipate.
All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to The Pursuit of Profit. Today, I'm joined by Charlotte Obringer. She's the Chief Operating Officer of Medi Weight Loss, a leader helping hundreds of entrepreneurs and medical professionals bring this life-changing system to their communities. We're diving into one of the fastest growing and most impactful sectors in franchising, medical weight loss. In the United States alone, obesity contributes to nearly 300,000 deaths each year, and about 74% of adults are now classified as overweight or obese. The need for clinically backed, sustainable weight loss management solutions has never been greater. And few brands have made a bigger difference than Medi Weight Loss. Since 2005, they've helped over 435,000 patients lose more than 10 million pounds through a proven physician-supervised program that's changing lives and reshaping communities nationwide. With over 100 clinics open, Medi Weight Loss has built a scalable, profitable model that blends purpose and performance. The average location generates around $989,000 in annual revenue and a net income of $231,000. This is being supported by multiple recurring income streams, from weekly patient visits and prescription-based care to IV therapy, vitamin injections, and medical-grade products. All right, let's get into it. So let's start here. What I've learned, right? I've been in the industry a while. Medi Weight Loss, love the category, and I happen to love the brand. All right, you folks have helped 435,000 people lose 10 million pounds. I mean, it's an incredible accomplishment and what an impact on our society. You also have an incredible background. You've been at some large companies. Tell us about you, of course, how you got here, and tell us about Medi Weight Loss. Like, who are you exactly as a brand for the audience?
Sure. I'm happy to share. So I've been with the organization about 2.5 years now. And actually joined Medi because I was recruited by a former colleague who had joined Medi, and I had worked with him back at LensCrafters back in the day. So my whole career pre-Medi was 30 plus years in multi-site operations. So my whole career has been about helping individual operators or individual owners grow successful businesses. I did that with some big time retailers that you've heard of, like American Eagle, Gap Inc., Limited Brands. LensCrafters was the more recent one. And that's where I met my former coworker who, after he joined Medi, said, hey, they're doing something really special here. They're growing from 100 clinics to something much, much larger than that. And you know how to scale businesses and do it responsibly. So we'd love to see you come on board and help us do just that. So here I get to work with all of our individual owner operators. I have a team that supports them. We spend our time out in the field, visiting clinics, coaching to help people be successful in growing their businesses. And so I've been really fortunate to get to do that. Now, I've been here 2 years. We've welcomed a new CEO here in the last 9 months or so. Brian Petronic comes to us from Right at Home, where he grew a business from one unit to 750 plus units in 8 countries all over the world. So that's really exciting. We also have an amazing ELT, executive leadership team, that we're working every day on how do we help our individual owners be successful. And again, I have a team of consultants who are phenomenal as well. They're out every day visiting clinics and helping set them up for success. So we're really proud to say we have helped over 400,000 patients achieve 10 million pounds of weight loss over this the 20-year history here. And we're just getting started. Honestly, I think we could probably do the next 10 million pounds in the next couple of years based on the growth we have planned for individual units, as well as the unit growth that we anticipate.
Wow. I feel like there's a... like the brand is reinvigorated. I feel like, did something happen? What's prompting all this?
Sure. Look, Medi has a really rich history, right? We've been around 20 plus years. For 18 of those years, it was family owned. And that family built a really solid foundation. A little over 2 years ago, about 2.5, 3 years ago, Medi was acquired by Audex, which is a private equity firm out of Boston.
Okay.
This is really responsible private equity. They specialize in you know, sort of our capitalization, and they have a lot of healthcare offerings or holdings. So they really understand the balance between driving profit and caring for patients. And so I think that's really what prompted a lot of the change. They protected some legacy team members who knew the model inside and out. My VP of operations grew up in this business. Okay. His grandfather was a founder of the organization. So we've protected some of those legacy players, but we brought in a lot of new talent. I think I'll include myself on that list, our new CEO on that list, folks that can really help see a vision, create something new and exciting and more innovative to help grow. So that's really, I think that was the turning point in terms of, you know, creative new service offerings, creative new product offerings, evolving the model a bit to better meet the needs of the patient today. The industry's been disrupted a bit the last couple of years with the onset of GLP-1 medications and, you know, a lot of new competitors getting into the space. And so it was important that we evolve too to kind of keep pace with that change and stay relevant to the customer base.
Love that. Okay, so that does make sense. So the feeling I have is accurate. You were acquired 2 years ago. They're putting money into the brand, reshuffling the deck, bringing in a lot of talent. A lot of bench strength has come in between you and the others. That's impressive. I like seeing it. And are you using an FSO to sell on the Fran Dev side?
We are. We were working with Repem as our FSO. We've been partnering with them for the last 6 to 9 months. So we're poised to grow really quickly as they have a track record of helping companies do that.
Repem, man, they're really growing. Good for them. Great people. Love the brand too.
It's been a great relationship so far. Yeah, a lot of synergy there.
Most people don't get the full story when they start exploring franchising. So they make mistakes. That cost them big. That's why my business partner, Justin Guevara, and I wrote Beyond the Brand, The Entrepreneur's Guide to Fearless Franchising. It is our proven six-step process at Franosity to help you find the right franchise, avoid costly pitfalls, and build a business that truly fits your goals. Grab your copy of Beyond the Brand on Amazon or any major book retailer and start building your future fearlessly. Do I need a medical background to buy this brand?
You do not. You do not need that, Cliff.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely not. So I can tell you that certainly some of our franchisee prospects come to us with some medical background. Maybe they've been a nurse practitioner or they've worked in a hospital setting, but it's not a requirement by any stretch of the imagination, right? This is medical weight loss, but you build a team of medical professionals in your local community, right? So you hire a medical director, typically a semi-absentee role or a fully absentee role. That person is providing some medical oversight to the providers that you hire, nurse practitioners, physician assistants who are seeing patients on a weekly basis in your clinic. But you yourself don't have to have that. We actually see the larger proportion of our franchisees come from corporate settings where they maybe have HR experience, or they maybe have marketing experience, or they maybe have tech experience, or they maybe have operations experience. Love those folks since I'm the operator here, right?
Yeah.
And so regardless of your background, we work with you on a comprehensive training that involves kind of all of those functional things and help provide you the tools so that you can go out and hire that team that we spoke of to fill in the gaps where maybe your knowledge doesn't exist. If you're coming from a non-medical space, you can fill in that gaps based on the quality of people you surround yourself by.
So let's just go get a little more granular there because I think this is an important part. So I could, at the local level, I live in Delray Beach. In Delray Beach, I could find, as you said, a fully passive, the person's not even in my building, a medical director. I call them a physician, someone who could write a prescription, someone who could oversee, you mentioned it. Say the name of the title again, a physician's assistant.
They're medical directors. Right. They're not writing prescriptions.
They're not.
Right? They're providing some oversight to the providers that you hire, who are primarily nurse practitioners or physician assistants.
Okay.
So they're providing some oversight to them so that your clinic can get credentialed and take insurance. And they're answering questions for those providers. They're, you know, checking EKGs for those providers. They're checking charts to make sure they're compliant and documenting patient, you know, data correctly. But they're not seeing patients day to day and they're not writing prescriptions. It would be your providers, your NPs or your PAs who would be doing that day to day in your clinic.
Okay, got it. That's great. Now I understand. At the local level, they're writing a prescription. The medical director is overseeing the employees that are writing their prescriptions and interfacing with the, do you call them patients, clients?
We do.
You do call them patients. Okay. So dealing with the patients in a medical weight loss environment. Got it. Okay.
That's right.
I Man, that is very unique. So anyone can do this. And I always make that point. That's the beauty of franchising. Like we could go anywhere we want. I could own an because I just told you I'm not a doctor. I can own an urgent care center. I can own a Medi weight loss. I just need to hire the people that have the credentials to speak and advise the patient. I like that. Talk to me. You mentioned it. Talk to me a little about insurance. What are you seeing in this business? Is it overwhelmingly insurance reimbursement, or no, a lot of this is private pay out of pocket?
I think it's balanced there. And it depends a little bit on the local community that you choose to set up shop. It depends a little bit on the state, you know, guidelines for insurance reimbursement based on where you operate. Mm-hmm. I would say the vast majority of our locations do take insurance. Probably 90, 95% of the system, their clinics that have chosen to take insurance, but that's up to the owner at the time that they open their clinic, whether they choose to get credentialed and be able to accept those kind of four or five major carriers that, you know, provide insurance reimbursement in their market. So we do have also a self-pay model for those patients who come to us without insurance. Insurance landscape has changed a lot in recent years. You know, not everyone has rich insurance benefits like maybe they once did. There's a lot of high deductible plans out there that, you know, might change what reimbursement looks like for that patient, what it looks like for your clinic. And so we do offer a self-pay option as well. That means you can service all of the patients, patient prospects in your community, not just those who have a rich insurance benefit.
Okay, excellent. I want to go through the revenue streams. I noticed that there's five. Sure. I don't remember there being five, three, four, 5 years ago. Tell me like what you've added of these five. Are some of them new since the acquisition? Like IV therapies, and vitamin injections. I don't remember that in the past.
Well, I'm going to break it down a little differently.
Please.
If that's okay. So, you know, individual clinic owners are seeing revenue come from a couple of different places. There's revenue that comes from medical services provided. So this is provider time. Patients are coming in weekly for an appointment. They're seeing a nurse practitioner, physician assistant. If it's an insurance clinic, you're billing insurance based on the time and complexity of that visit. So the insurance company is providing reimbursement for those medical services provided. There are also medical services that aren't covered by insurance, right? Those would be the pieces like high deductible plans with, you know, needing to pay out of pocket before insurance will start reimbursing. Could be co-pays, could be co-insurances. So there's a patient responsibility that comes with some of those medical service fees, right? And so patients are paying that out of pocket at the time of their visit, right there on the spot. So you've got some medical service fees that you're waiting for, and we've typical reimbursement that happens very quickly because our scope of practice is so narrow. There's only a handful of diagnosis codes that we're using, unlike other healthcare organizations that might have hundreds and hundreds of diagnosis codes. But it's pretty narrow. 13 or so different diagnosis codes that could be used in one of our clinics. So reimbursement happens pretty fast. 7 days, 10 days, that's pretty much standard across our system for insurance reimbursement. There's patient responsibility they're paying for at the time of their visit. That's for another third of the revenue that's coming in. And then there's product revenue that comes from non-reimbursable products that you sell at your clinic. So these would be things like supplements, things like vitamin injections, things like IV therapy. That's a new service offering that we just sort of launched last year in a good number of our clinics. It's an option for owners who want a little bit more, you know, complexity, a little bit more in terms of a revenue stream. So many jumped on board and got involved in IV therapy. And so that's exciting. So those are non-insurance reimbursable things. The patient pays for those out of pocket at the time of their visit. And we continue to add additional products to the available assortment of things a patient might be interested in. You know, we continue to look at new supplements. We launched a new one just last year. We continue to look at new products, like we have convenience food products. So all of the Medi program actually can be done with food that the customer or the patient buys at the grocery store, right? They're buying their protein, they're buying some greens, they're, you know, getting almost everything from the grocery store. Right. But we do offer some convenience products in the forms of protein shakes, protein bars, snacks, those kinds of things that are all protein-based. That's all, you know, available. And we're constantly adding new flavors of shakes or new flavors of bars or entirely new product categories. We're working right now on a soft chew that is great for mood and calm, right? Another one for sleep that we'll launch in the future. So really helpful complementary products We're always adding something new to that offering. And then there are additional, you know, product service offerings too, like we discussed with IV therapy. We're getting ready to actually our national convention just two weeks ago. Mm-hmm. We discussed bioidentical hormone replacement therapy as the big new service extension. And our owners are very excited about that. We've been taking their signups already for those that want to be the first to launch. And we're seeing really exciting response and eagerness to get that rolling, you know, at the beginning of 2026. So
that could be as big as the brand. Yeah,
it's exciting. I think, you know, this is an organization that's been around 20 years. There's a really good solid foundation here. But our leadership is such that we're always in this kind of spirit of continual improvement. Like, what can we do better? What can we add? What are our patients asking for? What are our franchisees asking for? How do we build that out in a way that's efficient and easy for them? Works with our current EMR, works with their current labor model, doesn't require a ton of investment, doesn't require a lot of capital. It's spent to bring new big equipment into the clinic. Just works with what you're already doing.
Love it.
So we'll continue to build out those offerings over the course of the next year and two and three so that we continue to help our franchisees grow their business. Our patient base is 75 to 80% female. It's really relevant that our providers understand menopause. My gosh, right? Our target population, both in terms of male, female, in terms of age, people are experiencing these symptoms and they're affecting their quality of life. So if we can provide a service who helps to, you know, solve for some of those symptoms, but which is also complementary in their weight loss. So the true study done very recently, patients who are on a GLP-1 medication, so semaglutide or tirzepatide, and who complement their treatment with hormone replacement therapy, patients who do both GLP and HRT lose 30% more weight.
Wow.
30% more weight. And some of these women have tried and tried everything over the years and found it really difficult to, you know, shed that baby weight or shed that postmenopausal weight. And now we have a method to help them do that. So it's really exciting. We continue to find new ways to support the people that come to us for their help.
Interesting. So now you're in the semaglutide business, like you're doing all those things where years ago you weren't. You were using some other alternative, let's say, medication.
Years ago, those didn't exist.
Years ago,
those didn't exist, right? So we always had medication as part of the program, phentermine, fendimetrazine, appetite suppressants
right.
that are, you know, responsible and approved by the FDA were always part of the program, but never the whole program. You know, what MediWeight Loss is really about weekly visits with a medical provider. So there's medical oversight. It's about building a relationship with that person so that you don't feel like you're, you know, being judged or being shamed, but you're coming to learn about how to care for yourself, right? With genuine empathetic care. So there's weekly visits that build accountability. Mm-hmm. Patients who come to us often have tried many weight loss programs before us and nothing has worked for them. And so they come here and lo and behold, they lose the weight because there's accountability in coming every week to see someone who genuinely cares about you, right? That's really differentiated. A lot of competitors are doing weight loss these days, but not many are doing it in a way that has genuine care with medical oversight. So those are two giant differentiators for us. Now, we did evolve the medication piece as the landscape changed. More medicines became available. You know, Novo came out. Eli Lilly came out with new medications that were literally breakthroughs in weight loss. Not only in weight loss. First, they were seen to treat diabetes effectively. We don't diagnose diabetes, so we didn't play in that space. But as those medications were deemed to be effective in weight loss, and there was a version of them available, right, in Wegovy and in Zepbound that affected weight loss, we began prescribing the brand name medication, and that continues to be available in our clinics today.
You're drawing blood. You're doing a full panel to before you. Yes, you're doing all this stuff.
Yeah. So there's a full body composition analysis as the patient gets started on their first visit. We want to understand about them before we just start prescribing medication or advising a program.
Absolutely.
So the program can be very personalized because we're doing an EKG to understand, do they qualify for, you know, a more serious medication, a controlled substance. We're doing a full body composition analysis. We're understanding, you know, how their metabolism works. Is it moving fast or slow? We can customize the not only the prescription of the medication, but the nutrition plan for that patient. How many calories should they take in for each week that they're on the program? And how does that nutrition plan change as they've been with us a little bit longer? So we're working patients through three phases of the program. The acute phase is first, where we're clearly helping them get to their goal weight, right? We're weaning them off their medication at a certain point in time and adding back in carbohydrates and other pieces that things they might have to miss in those early stages. And then ultimately of a wellness phase. And in that wellness phase, we're helping them, you know, be able to sustain their goal weight over time. A lot of patients can lose the weight, but keeping it off is more challenging. If we teach you the lifestyle changes that you need to make, you can actually come off that medication ultimately and keep the weight off because you've made changes to how you think about food, how you know interact with the world around you, and those lifestyle changes help you sustain.
Thank you for saying that. That brings up a question about, let's say, I call it stickiness, average length of stay, client retention, call it what you want. How long am I with you on this program meeting weekly before I feel like I've achieved my number, my goal, and I feel like I'm armed with enough information that I've changed my lifestyle and I'm good? Like, how long am I with the brand as a patient?
It's not a one size fits all question. Like, it's different for every patient. We have patients that come to us wanting to lose 15 or 20 pounds and patients who come to us wanting to lose 120 pounds, wow. Like, and everything in between. So it's not a one size fits all approach.
Okay.
I think we find the average patient stays about 12 to 14 weeks, but I'll tell you, some much longer and some much faster. It really just depends on what their individual needs are and how we work hard to accommodate to meet those needs over time. A lot of our most successful owners have a personal weight loss journey, right? And many of them, that personal weight loss journey brought them to Medi as a patient. I can think of half a dozen off the top of my head that could tell that same story. You know, this is it's a profound thing that we're doing. We're changing, literally changing their lives. If you lose 80 pounds, it literally changes your life, right? Oh, how you interact, goodness, with the world, how you interact with your kids and your grandkids, the quality of your life improves. I got a text message from one of our operators in Alabama recently. And she said, Charlotte, we're in tears down here today because we had a patient who was almost 400 pounds. And they came to us because they were desperate, right? Something had to change in their lives. And they were so bad off that they had to take the transportation to and from the clinic. They couldn't drive themselves and they couldn't walk into the clinic. And today, 6 months into the program, this patient is down 65 pounds. And today, for the first time, they drove themselves to the clinic and they walked, wow, into the clinic on their own. And everybody burst into tears because literally this is something, walking and driving was something this patient couldn't have done alone. And then with the support of the providers at that staff and the whole team, honestly, at that staff who were, you know, in their corner cheering them on, this patient is now able to get around. Her life has changed because of the good work that they did.
I believe it. It's a legacy, life-changing business that you're in. And this country is overweight. Like, we are in bad shape.
It's an epidemic in our country. There's no doubt about it. If you take the patients, the people in the United States of America that are overweight and obese, 74% of the American population today, 74%, yes, is overweight or obese. So, you know, three out of every four people, that's insane to me, right? This is an epidemic, no doubt about it. And we can do things to help change that. Namely education, right? A lot of what we do is provide education in our communities, get the word out, and not just, you know, what we do and how we can support, but, you know, what it means to be overweight or obese and what impact does that have on your quality of life and your longevity. You know, by helping people get their weight under control, we're avoiding cardiovascular events, right? We're solving for future cancers that you're more predisposed to if you're carrying around a lot of that extra weight. People become diabetic, that changes again the quality of their life, the length of their life, how much they enjoy their families. Like, it's overwhelming to me what an impact that we are able to make in these communities when we help even just a person or two, never mind a larger population. So a lot of work to be done.
It's so true.
It just means there's untapped potential, right?
Totally.
I mean, there's untapped potential in terms of how many people we can help. There's untapped potential in terms of, you know, how many clinics we could have. There's, yes, untapped potential in terms of how fast an owner could grow from zero to something that's cash flow positive and ultimately, you know, break even and ultimately highly profitable. There's unlimited potential here because the problem is so vast. And despite Wegovy and, you know, Zepbound and all of the medications that are out there in the landscape, it's not getting better yet. Like, no one's reversed the trend yet.
Right.
So with that unlimited potential to help people, there's a lot of good that we can do.
Are you?
And I think we find that. We find the owners come to us with like, hey, I want to make a lot of money. I also want to do good in the world. Like, I want to make my community a better place. That was Annie Holland Miller. You mentioned her in McAllen. Like, she's like, at McAllen, Texas is one of the most obese cities in America, if not the most obese city in America. She's like, I have to help the people in this community. Like, my neighbors are sick and I have to help them. And so it feels really good to, you know, help our owners be profitable and successful, but really help them help their communities.
I agree. I totally agree. So talk to me a little bit about, and I heard you say the statistic and I don't know the exact number. Did you say 80 something percent of your clients were female?
Between 75 and 80% in each clinic.
75 to 80% of your patients are female. Where are the children in this business? We have a ton of overweight kids in this country.
Oh, that's a great question. You know, we have an adolescent program. More and more kids are facing, I mean, being overweight or obese. And that, again, has negative consequences, not just on their self-esteem, but on their physical health. And, you know, so their ability to grow up and be confident, productive humans. So we do have an adolescent program specific for those kids that are, you know, junior. And a lot of moms find us, grandmoms find us, and then find out how else we could help others. We, you know, the males that are part of our patient population typically come because their wife or their mom or their sister got involved and said, hey, this is something that could help you too. That applies to adolescents as well. So we have a nice adolescent program for those who need it and supports our kids. It doesn't include the GLP-1 medications because we're not going to administer to, you know, those that the FDA hasn't approved for us to do that with, but certainly it's a nice, well-rounded program that's appropriate for them based on their still being, you know, growing up.
Absolutely. I like that you're dealing with the adolescent, you know, children, adolescents. That's great. How are you acquiring customers? Like, what's the go-to market strategy? I have a brick and mortar brand. I would imagine a couple of thousand square feet, right? Class A space or no, medical. This would be medical,
right? Not necessarily.
Right.
Not necessarily. So in terms of the, you asked a couple questions there, so I'll try to knock them off one at a time. The physical space, this is, I think, another benefit of Medi ownership is that you can be where your patients need you to be. It doesn't need to be necessarily class A space or even retail space, which can be more expensive, right? If you're paying a lot more in rent,
like that,
you're going to see that erode your profits. If you're able to get into something that's a little bit less expensive, we're a destination business. Patients will find you. Mm-hmm. If you take what you're saving in rent and apply that to your marketing investment, patients will find you. So we actually encourage our owners when they're in site selection to look at both retail space and at medical office space. And the optimal scenario for us is that they can find medical office spaces that is accessible. So not three floors up, not down the hallway and around the corner, but, you know, first floor right off the entrance, okay, plenty of parking. That's maybe even second gen space. It's already built out as a small, you know, small facility for exams and consultation rooms. That just saves on the build out costs and helps them get their clinic open faster and more economically. So they can put more money into the things that are going to, you know, translate more directly to patients, like the quality of providers that they hire, right? The bonus is that they provide their team to, you know, incent them to, you know, help the clinic grow. So those are all kinds of things that we talk about when we're onboarding a new owner.
I love that. I do. I like the fact that I could be in a medical park, right? I could be where my general practitioner is, my dentist. I could be in an area like that. I do like what you said, first floor, make it convenient, park, get in. Does the size of the space, is it relative to, you need these rooms because I want privacy if I'm going to speak to someone, right? So is it based on like the range of size? Do I really need 2,000 square feet?
Sure.
Can I do,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
We kind of target 1,500 to 2,500 square feet with the sweet spot being about 1,800. You are seeing, your providers are seeing patients usually in 15-minute increments. Now we go a little longer for a patient with a more complex medical situation or,
okay,
but typically they're 15-minute appointments. So there's a lot of throughput. When you think about 15-minute visits, a patient comes for one new patient visit this month. Next month, that's four acute visits next month, right?
Right.
15 minutes each. So there's a lot of capacity, even in a short business day. Our hours of operation, at least when clinics are newly opened, are relatively narrow to keep labor costs low. Again, thinking about the owner and their ability to ramp up their profitability, mm-hmm, responsibly, right? So a typical clinic when it first opens might only be open 26 to 30 hours a week, you know, 6 hours a day. It's a really nice quality of life potential for the owners there.
No weekends?
You know, patients want to see you before work or after work. So one day you might be 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. The next day you might be 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. So you are meeting the customer where they are, the patient where they are. They can come before work. They can come after work. Saturdays is a really big day here. Many patients, the day of the week that fills up the fastest in terms of patient appointment demand is Saturday. So if you can be open a short shift, like a 7 to noon or a 7 to 1 on Saturday, patients get in, they get their visit done, they weigh in, they get a little cheer. You know, we give them some education for the next week, send them on their way. They have the rest of their weekend to enjoy. And that works well for the quality of life of your team too, right? They come in, they work a short shift, they get that done. And then most clinics are closed on Sunday, closed on Monday. So everybody gets a nice solid period of time off. Makes for a good quality of life, keeps your team happy. Happy team means happy patients, right? That all translates.
That's great.
But it also is good to help business because you're able to keep those labor costs down and retain a staff that you're not having to train and retrain as you turn people.
Okay. What would be do you measure in like a KPI? Do you measure an average ticket? Do you measure the average revenue per patient? help me with like an average ticket or an average revenue per client.
So that too varies. I'll share that we have a tool called the Diamond Scorecard. And the Diamond Scorecard was something we started about 2 years ago to help create more awareness of how one's performance looked relative to the balance of the system. Mm-hmm. So the Diamond Scorecard takes all of the clinics and it divides them into cohorts by age of the clinic and visit volume, right? So you're lumped together. If you're an owner with let's say, one location, you're lumped together with other owners that have, you know, locations that are of similar age and similar visit volume. And then it ranks those clinics in that cohort relative to each other on our five most important KPIs. You know, one is their revenue as a percent to prior year. One is their new patient growth versus prior year. That's a really important one for us. It takes a look at other things like you asked about, their ancillary sales per visit. How much in ancillary sales are they tacking on to each visit? It also looks at retention and dormant restarts, how many old patients are coming back, because that's a population of folks we can continue to speak to and support. If they gain 10 pounds, they can pop back in, right? So getting back to your question, you know, if we take a look at that ancillary sales per visit, typical visit is somewhere between $300 and $400 for that first new visit. And then after that, there's the fee for their medical service time, and then the product sales. So that ancillary sales per visit is really what we're measuring. How much over and above the medical service provider are they spending? And typically there, it's falling somewhere between, I think it's as low as 50 or 60 and as high as 110 or 120.
Okay.
And that just comes down to how much does the staff believe in the full assortment of products and how well are they educating, not being pushy. We're not selling like used car salesmen. Like, this is about patient education, right? So how well are they educating the patient about what the patient, you told me this patient, you told me you're, you know, struggling with X, Y, and Z. So I have a product here that might support those needs. You know, you're on a GLP-1 medication. You've been feeling like you're losing some muscle mass. So we have a supplement that will actually help you with that. You know, this supplement will help you maintain your muscle mass while you're on a GLP-1 medication. Let's go ahead and get that for you today. Okay. So by doing enough of that patient education and tying it back to their genuine need, you're able to build those ancillary sales per visit pretty significantly. And the top tier in that category are a full $50, $60 over the bottom tier in that category.
Okay, got it. Charlotte, how am I getting these customers? Am I doing an outside salesperson banging on doors with, you know, general practitioners? You have overweight patients, refer them to me.
It's a combination of things. I mean, many, many patients find us through traditional lead generation, right? Digital, pay-per-click, social. Many come to us that way. Though I will say the landscape has changed a bit, right? And so it's not just enough to say, here's my, you know, X number of dollars per month as an owner I'm going to invest. You know, our minimum requirement is about $5,000 per month in marketing investment, because that's what it takes to generate the kind of leads that are useful and enough to sustain or drive your business forward. It also is an investment of your time or of your operator's time. So if you're an owner operator, You're probably doing a lot of the selling that needs to happen to get new patients started in your clinic, telling them about the program, asking them questions to understand really what they're looking for, mm-hmm. helping educate them around what Medi is and why it's different than all the other stuff that's out there. So in addition to that, just lead management, kind of lead development, if you will, there's some grassroots marketing involved, right? And that's where you kind of alluded to networking with other physicians in the community. There are many, many, many doctors who can't take care of a patient until they lose a little weight first. You know,
that's right. Bariatric surgery.
Physical therapist. Yep. Even bariatric surgeons sometimes can't help them until they lose a little weight first. So, you know, building relationships with other doctors like that in the community is huge. We have a set of owners in our Virginia Beach area who got really good at this really fast. They opened just earlier this year. They were popping around, visiting local physicians in their community, just educating them about what we do, building credibility in the program, of course. They visited a plastic surgeon's office and he said, could you just camp out in my waiting room? Because literally, like every other person that comes to see me, I want to help them, but I can't help them till they lose 30 or 40 pounds first. So if you could just like plant yourself here 2 days a week, that would be great. They have a great relationship with that doctor now, right? That doctor's constantly sending them new referrals. Referrals are very likely to convert, right?
Right.
You get a random lead, you might be converting at 20 or 25 or 30% of the time. You get a medical referral, you're converting at 80, 85, 90% of the time because they got orders from their doctor that they need to do this.
Right. We're not moving forward
so
without
quite it. Quite a lot come from medical referrals. Quite a lot come from patient referrals. Our patients are really happy. They've tried a lot of other things. They come here. They legitimately lose the weight. And not only that, but they feel so proud of themselves because they've learned how to take care of themselves now, yeah. right? They've learned how to eat properly, how to make good, healthy decisions. And so they're ecstatic about that. We use Net Promoter Score to measure our patient satisfaction. And our patient satisfaction ratings year to date over all of the clinics in our system, 88.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Off the charts. Most healthcare facilities are turning in NPSs of like 50, 55, 60. We are at 88 across the system. That, so we're really proud of that.
That's like Apple Store. That's like retail, experiential
it's like the
retail.
Best in class.
Yes, exactly. You get a score that high. It's like experiential.
So when we hear that, we know those patients are happy. They're asked a question, right, when they fill out the survey. How likely are you to recommend us to a friend or family member? And so those are the folks that have said, yes, absolutely. I will recommend you to a friend or family member. And so because of that, those referrals generate quite a lot of patient volume for us, new patient demand. We have some clinics that are seeing 30, 40, 50% of their new patients are coming from patient referrals, which is really exciting and a testament to the quality of service they're providing at the clinic.
It's outstanding. Let's talk about your item seven. We'll close on item 19 as we always do. And any additional comments you'd like to make. I have an item seven of 251, which I was surprised on the high side of 494. If I'm not class A space and I'm in, let's say, a medical building, what are you really seeing to open up a facility? Am I in the threes?
Honestly, it can be done for less than that. I mean, we provide a range on the item seven, as everyone does. I mean, literally, your initial package is just $49,000. And we keep that nice and tight for you, for new owners, because we want to make sure that they have everything they need. It's in one fell swoop. You know, build out can really range quite a lot. Build out can be as little as $7,500,000. It can be considerably more than that. We try to give our owners optionality when they're making decisions mm-hmm. around their physical space. You know, some want to build out, you know, best in class, beautiful, you know, good, better, best options. They want better everything, best everything. You don't have to do that when you're opening a Medi. You can actually open a really nice clinic and build it out for considerably less. And so by doing that, you end up saving and you can reinvest those savings into marketing. And that's really the smartest thing to do. So we encourage people to be conservative in their decisions, but we give them options. You know, when we provide fixture lists, we provide them good, better, best options. So they can make informed decisions and kind of tailor that the aesthetics of their clinic. You know, yes, they'll all be roughly the same colors. Yes, they'll be all roughly the same physical design, paint colors, whatever, but we try to make it really simple so that they can make an informed decision and invest as much there as they choose.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I would think so. You know, 250, 350 max for a really nice facility. I mean, I appreciate the range. I just think you could get it done, as you said, for far less than the high side range of that. Your item 19.
Yeah, and sometimes it's you start a little more conservatively and then, you know, enhance over time. I have an owner in Michigan who had never opened a business before. She was kind of new to this, but she was a go-getter, super entrepreneurial, like, you know, really just a spark plug. She said, I'm going to go in really conservative and I'm going to make my, you know, upgrade over time. She actually grew that initial unit so quickly. She came back to us last year and said, I want to buy number two and number three. She did that and she opened number two in 3 months, like wicked fast because she knew what to do, you know, and she again built it out conservatively, but planned to over time upgrade. And so she's driving two nice profitable businesses right now with plans to get a third going here shortly. It's exciting to see how people can scale when they make good, healthy decisions.
Absolutely. I know. I noticed you had over 100 locations, but yeah, I think you had less than 70 franchisees or something like that. So you have obviously quite a few multi.
More and more multi-unit every day. In fact, we're just coming off of our annual convention. We bring the owners together once a year to network and learn new product offerings, new things that are coming down the pike. And on the heels of that, like no joke, on the heels of that convention, I bet I had half a dozen owners lining up to talk to me about another unit. You know, one more, two more, three more. That's an exciting thing as a franchisor to know that, you know, the direction you're taking the brand is what people are excited about and that they have trust that you're going to continue to evolve in a competitive landscape to stay relevant. Many are coming back to us asking for more.
Yeah,
it's exciting.
They're seeing what I'm seeing. I'm not even in the system. They're seeing that, all right, people are doubling down on Medi Weight Loss. We have a new owner. They're serious. They're putting money into it. They want to double, triple, quadruple the size of the distribution channel. I want to be part of it.
Yeah,
it's confidence. Okay. You nailed it. It's all small business confidence. You have a great item 19, and I know we're in November. I have a suspicion that this item 19 is going to be more impressive come next year with all the services that you're adding. I'm showing the top third of the reporting franchisees doing on 1.6 million on average, on the high side, 2.89, on the low side, a million. This is for the top third. The middle third was an average of 855,000. Your bottom third was 475,000 and still with a 75,000 net.
But we've got consultants there saying, how can we help you drive this even further, right? Like we're here to help identify those next big opportunities so that they can, you know, if you could take your bottom and get them to the middle, get your middle to get them to the top and take your top and achieve something that's never been achieved before, you're running a really successful franchise. So we're eager to help people do that.
I completely agree. Putting all this in one number, if you take the reporting, your average total franchisees, the reporting of all, $989,143. That's impressive. With a net income average of $231,000. Folks, that's 23% of gross sales. That's a business. That's something worth getting out of bed for. That's a nice business operation with a legacy. If you add it all up, I have 3 to 5 employees. Okay, you have my attention. I'm doing an average of $1 million in system-wide sales. You have my attention. 23% net. I'm making nearly $250,000. You have my attention. Oh, by the way, I'm only working 35 hours a week. Like, come on. If people actually wrote down, what does a blue sky opportunity look like, right? Does this have recession resilience? I mean, we're getting bigger. I don't see this is a long runway opportunity. I like the business. I like the legacy. I like a lot about it. And I have no doubt in your executive team taking this thing to the next level. Anything else you'd like to add? Anything you're working on? Any new announcements you'd like to make before we wrap it up?
We've touched on most of the newness. I would just say there's such a spirit of continuous improvement here, right? We never rest on the way that it always has been. We never rest on the way that it is today. We're always asking, what else could we do? I will say the best ideas come from our franchisees, right? We have a really active franchise advisory council. They're constantly putting new ideas in our ears, things they've heard from the franchisee population across the system.
Yeah.
We're meeting really regularly and discussing, you know, what's new, what's next, how do we evolve? Brian Petronic, our CEO, is all about how do we become easier to do business with? How do we make it easier for the patient? How do we make it easier for the franchisee, right? So there's a spirit of simplification and continuous improvement like I've never seen before.
Wow.
And it's really, really fun to support owners supporting their patients. We're doing important work. And so I think there's an urgency about how we evolve responsibly to better support the needs of our communities.
Yeah.
It's exciting time.
I have a suspicion I'll have you on next year. It's going to be a totally different story, all to the upside. I really appreciate you coming on.
It's looking pretty good today.
Yeah.
And it can get even better, right? There's a lot of people out there we got to help.
It's awesome. It was really great having you on the show. Thank you so much for your time, Charlotte.
Thank you, Cliff. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss out on more great content. And if you're considering investing in a franchise, whether it's the brand you featured today or another opportunity, we're here to help. Visit us at franocity.com. That's FranOcity.com. We'd love to help you take that next step towards business ownership.